حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود. Now all these ayahs, or this ayah is actually a continuation of the lesson that we did last week. So this is the last half of ayat number 187. And the previous ayah and this ayah is about Ramadan, the night of fasting. Right? So there were some orders about the night of fasting. And the first part of this ayah orders you that, okay, in the night of fasting, you can have sexual intimacy with the wives. Now in this part, Allah Ta'ala is defining, till what time can you eat? What is the last time of suhoor? The last time of sehri? And Allah Ta'ala says, kulu washrabu, eat and drink, hatta, until, yatabayyana lakumul khaytul abyazu, it becomes clear to you, the white thread, minal khaytil aswadi, until you can distinguish the white thread, min khaytil aswadi, from the black thread, minal fajr, of dawn. So now, Allah Ta'ala says that you can eat and drink until what? Until you can differentiate between the white thread and the dark thread. What is the white thread? All what we have heard throughout our lives is that the time of Sehri ends when it's the time for Fajr, right? So what is the difference between, what is this white thread and black thread? Why is Allah Ta'ala could have said, you know, when the time for Fajr starts, that's when you should end eating, right? This is very simple for us. But Allah Ta'ala says, till you can differentiate between the white thread and the black thread. This white thread is, when the dawn starts, when the sun is about to come out, then what happens is that you see a white small line on the sky. That's when the time of Fajr starts. So when the time of Fajr starts, before that you should stop eating. This is what it is meant from this ayah of the Quran. When the white thread and black thread is different from each other, that's when you can stop eating, right? Can I see the other notes on this sheet? So I think you missed some notes actually. This is what I wanted to see. So the time of Sihr ends at the start of Fajr time. So let's say, if you want to fast tomorrow morning, what time will you end your fast? What time will you stop eating? 5:25. Why? The white thread appears at 5:25 a.m. in the morning. Zabardast jawab nahi diya isne. The white thread actually starts at 5. What does it mean? Actually, the time for Fajr starts at 5:25, right? So for us now, the white thread and the black thread is basically, it is not that relevant anymore. It is the time of Fajr, and the time of Fajr now is on the board. See, you see these two watches? Both of them have a time on it. You know when the time for Fajr starts, when the time for Isha ends. So it is not a difficult thing. In those times, actually, people used to go out of their houses and look at the sky. Oh, can I see the white thread? If I can see the white thread, it means that I should stop eating. Until you don't see that white thread, you can keep on eating. So some people used to eat a lot. Even, you know, they keep on eating because they could not see that white thread. So the white thread has to be distinguished from the black thread. And all it means is that when the time for Fajr starts, there is a whiteness on the sky. So before that very slight whiteness starts, you have to stop eating. Now some people have this concept that when you do Sehri, you can keep on eating. Even when the Fajr Azan has started, right? And that eating is actually the time of doubt. And eating in the time of doubt is makruh, it is not right. And some people say that no, you can keep on eating. So even when the time of Fajr has started, and you know that the time of Fajr has started and you keep on eating, what happens? The scholars have said that your fast is invalid. So you should be very careful. So whatever time is on that board, or whatever time you get in the month of Ramadan, that this is the time when Sehri ends, you should stop eating before that time. Even if you cannot hear the azan at that time, you should stop eating before that time. So this is the last limit of when you can eat. This Sehri or eating in the night is light in Islam. It is better to eat before the time ends. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Sehri is full of barakah. You must eat Sehri because there is barakah in the Sehri. So that is why eating Sehri is better than not eating Sehri. And also you should delay your Sehri. In the month of Ramadan, some young boys, what they like to do is that they want to eat Sehri before they go to sleep, so that the mother doesn't wake them up early. She only wakes them up at the time of Fajr. Right? So, but this is not like. The Prophet ﷺ liked it that you eat Sehri towards till the, at the end of the time. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ has also said that you must eat Sehri because it makes our fasting different from the fasting of the Jews. The Jews, when they used to fast, they would not eat Sehri. So the Prophet ﷺ has ordered us to eat Sehri. So it is always better to actually wake up, rub your eyes, get outside of the bed, and tell your mom, "Mom, where is my Sehri?" Right? And then you should have your Sehri. So this is one thing you should do. The other hadith, the third hadith the Prophet ﷺ has said, is that help yourself in your fast through Sehri. What does that mean? Help your fast through Sehri. Ji Mohit. Yeah. When you will do Sehri, it will be easier for you to fast during the days. If you will not do Sehri and you will eat at night, and some people have this habit of eating at night right after Taraweeh prayers. When they go home, they say, "Bring me something to eat," right? This is what they tell their wives. Badi bhook lag rahi hai, aur kuch lao khane ke liye. So when they eat at that time, then they don't feel like eating Sehri. So, but this is not the right time to eat. The right time to eat is at the time of Sehri. To wake up at that time. And also there is barakah in that time. The du'as that you make during the time of Sehri, those du'as are accepted by Allah. So that is why you should make it a habit of waking up at the time of Sehri. And the last point here is that it is makruh to eat in the doubtful time. What is the doubtful time? Ji, Dr. Saab. When the black thread and white thread are very close to each other. So let's say, like our friend Sharik here has said, that the time of Sehri ends at 5:25. So this time of exactly 5:25 is a doubtful time. So eating at 5:25 is makruh. So you should complete your Sehri before. So you should stop eating at 5:20, I think. 5:20, 5:21 is good. Some people have this concept that even if the azan is going on, I can keep on eating. And some people have even a worse concept. They say that however many azans are going on, the last azan that is being called, I can eat at that time as well. If you do that, what is going to happen to your fast? Your fast will be invalid. There will be no fast, right? Khana bhi nahi milega aur roza bhi nahi hoga. So it's acha hai ki khana jaldi khatam kar liya jaye. So you should eat before the time ends. So وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا eat and drink حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَسِ till you can distinguish between the white thread مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ from the black thread مِنَ الْفَجْرِ at the time of Fajr. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى لَيْلِ and then you should complete your fast till the night. So what is the time of the end of fast? Khurram Sahab. 6:42 or we can say at the time of Maghrib is when the fast ends, right? You pray Maghrib at 6:42, so the fast also ends at 6:42. So the fast ends at 6:42, so fast ends at Maghrib time. So Allah Ta'ala says that you should complete your fast till the end. This fasting is light by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There are two types of fast. One is the farz, the obligatory. The farz fast And the second type of fast is the nafil fast, right? What is the first fast? Ji, Fahad. The first fast is the fast of the month of Ramadan. Is there any other first fast as well? The fast that is obligatory upon us? Ji.
Huh?
Oh, the day that you don't fast in the month of Ramadan, when you miss that fast is also farz upon you. The qaza of that fast is farz upon you. So the Ramadan fast is also farz, and the fast that you miss is also farz. Is there any other fast that is farz upon you? The older men in the class. Ji. Akal ke ghode dauda hai. Aur bhi koi farz fast hota hai? Iske ilawa. Ramzan ke aur qaza ke. Any other fast which is also obligatory. Farz on you. That is not farz. Farz fast kaun sa hai? Ji. The farz fast is the fast of nazar. And you call in Urdu mannat. When you decide, you make a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, my mother is sick, and if she gets well, I am going to fast for 10 days. Now you made this fast obligatory upon us. This is farz on you. Now you have to fast for 10 days, right? But generally, young boys don't do this, that my mother is sick, so when she will get well, I will do this. What they do is, if Pakistan wins the match, I'm going to fast for these many days. This is what they do. So, if you fast, so there are two types of fast. One is the obligatory, the Ramadan fast, and the fast that you've missed, and the fast that you have asked as nazar. And then the second type of fast is the nafil fast. And what is that fast? Do you have an example? Yes, Fahad. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, so that fast is also nafil fast. Any other fast that you think is nafil, which is in the Sunnah? Yeah, the 10th of Muharram is also a fast which is in Sunnah. Ji, Raheed, you have a fast? Fasting for 6 days in the month of Shawwal. The Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who fasts for 6 days in the month of Shawwal is as if he has fasted the whole year. Ji. 10 days of Zilhaj, not 10 days of Zilhaj, 9 days. That's the din to fast, Eid ka din hoga, na? The 9 days of Zilhaj. 13th, 14th, 15th. But the 9 days of Zilhaj is one of the very important fast. Any one day of Zilhaj, the Prophet ﷺ said, some of the person who fasts for one day in the first 9 days of Zilhaj, it is as if he has fasted the whole year. So those are very important fasts. The first 9 days of Ramadan, right? And then there is Ayyamul Bees. What is Ayyamul Bees? The 3 days, 13th, 14th and 15th of the lunar month. Why do you call them Ayyamul Bees? What does the word bees mean? Bees actually mean white. The white days. Ayyamul Bees, the white days. And why do you call them the white days? Because the moon is bright on those 13th and 14th and 15th night, that's why. And the Prophet ﷺ used to fast on these ayam. So these are so many fasts. And then there is a fast called the Sawmud Daud, the fast of Daud alayhi salam. And that fasting is fasting one day, and then not fasting the other day, and then fasting again. So alternate days of fasting. And fasting is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sawm-e Dawoodi you can do whenever you want to, for the whole year. I know a person who lives in Chitral, and he's a very pious scholar also. And he has been doing this Sawm-e Dawoodi now for at least 25 years. Fasting one day and not fasting the other day. Then fasting one day and not fasting the other day. The Prophet ﷺ has said then the fast that is liked most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the song of Dawood. What happened was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met a few young people, and the young people, they are sometimes, and a lot of times actually, they are overcome by the desire for sex. The young people, the young boys who have not married, so these things are going on in their minds. They're always thinking about sex. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that you should help yourself either by getting married or you should fast. So this is a prophetic solution to this problem. Otherwise, when they are thinking about sex all the time, then what happens is they end up committing sins. And when they commit sins, then when somebody commits sins, then he automatically doesn't feel like worshipping. It automatically happens that he stops praying Fajr. He doesn't want to pray. He doesn't want to listen to, you know, lectures. He doesn't want to listen to good advice. All these things. So the Prophet ﷺ advised that you young people, you must help yourself by fasting. So this is a prophetic solution to this problem that most young people face. Now look at this. In those times, the desire for sex was not that much, because the times were much better than these times. Today is the time, is the era of sex. It is the era of sexual revolution. Everywhere you see pictures and shows and CDs and internet, and you would not believe there are more than 250 million sexual websites, pornographic websites on the web. So the amount of sexual promiscuity which is present in these times, never ever present ever in the history of mankind. So that is why young people in this time, if they don't fast, they will end up committing sins. So that is why this is a beautiful fast, that you should fast one day and then you should not fast the other days. So the young man who wants to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should fast one day and he should not fast the other day, then fast the other day and not fast the other day. So I know a scholar who used to do this. He said, when I went to college, I started doing this. Because in college you end up getting into these things. So he said, from the time of college till the time of marriage, I did this for 6, 7, 8 years. And this is a very good example. So in order to avoid sinning in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it protects from sin. I know a young man who came to me and he said that I am involved in very, very bad sexual activities. I'm not even married. And I want to get out of it. This is what he told me. So he had the intention of getting out of it. So this intention is very important. One is that you don't even have the intention, that I don't even want to get out of this. So this man, this young boy actually, this young man had the intention of getting out of this. So I said, well, there is a prophetic solution to this. And if you really, really, if you are really strong on your intention, then you will do this. Then you should fast one day, and then you should not fast the other day. And then you should fast again and not fast the other day. He said, I'm going to do this. And he was very strong. And he did it for a few months. And he said that all the sins that I used to do, all of them are finished. And I feel like a much purer person, somebody closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a solution that will always work. It cannot happen that this solution is not going to work. Other solutions might not work, this one is going to work. Fasting one day and not fasting the other day. So this is a beautiful solution. A solution for 1400 years ago, a solution for the 21st century as well. It's a beautiful solution that you fast. The Sahaba, they were very eager to fast. They used to love fasting. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who fasts this Nafal fast, right? Not the month of Ramadan, but somebody fast other than the month of Ramadan, all his flesh and his bones, they're all doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gets a reward of doing tasbih from each and every part of his body. This is how when somebody fasts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the person so much who fasts that Allah ta'ala says that this fast that he has done is for me, and I am directly going to reward him for his fast. So this person or the young man, when he fasts and when he makes dua at the time of iftar, whatever dua he makes, Allah Ta'ala accepts that dua. So fasting is liked by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. That is why one day the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to his Sahaba that, you know, I like three things in this world. And one is beautiful fragrance. Very nice fragrance, I like it. The other thing is, I like praying. I like salat, which is the comfort of my eyes. And the third thing is, I like pious wife. A wife which is pious. These are three things of the world that I like. So Hazrat Ali رضی اللہ عنہ, he replied that, O Prophet of Allah, I also like one thing in this world. So Prophet ﷺ asked, O Ali, what do you like? And Ali رضی اللہ عنہ said, O Allah, O Prophet of Allah, I like fasting on a day when the sun is on at its height and it's a very heated day, and it is a heated day of the summer. I like to fast in that day. So that means the Sahaba used to love fasting. And the Mashaykh, the scholars have said that the one who fasts, who has this habit of fasting, then he feels a very special closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will always be ready to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Automatically his body is going to tilt towards worshipping Allah. So this is the beauty of fasting. So the Muslims were fighting the non-Muslims, and one of the Sahabi, he got hit by a lot of swords and a lot of blood came out, and he was about to die, and he was on the ground and a lot of blood was out. So one of the other companions, the Prophet said, he looked at him and he said, my friend is about to die. So he ran to him and he had some water in his hand. And he said, oh my dear friend, you're about to die. And a lot of blood has come out. Let me do something for you. What can I do for you? Here, have some water. And this man was about to die because he was all the blood from his body has come out. But even in that state, he said that, no, don't put water in my mouth. I am fasting. So even on the day of fighting, he was fasting. And said, don't put water in my mouth. I am fasting. And I will break this fast with the drink of looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba used to love fasting. And we kind of run away from fasting, right? Even in the month of Ramadan, we tell our moms, don't make me upsetting. Right? This is what we tell our moms. So at least we should fast in the month of Ramadan and we should wake up for Sahri. And young people, young boys, young men should also fast outside of the month of Ramadan. They should at least fast 3 days a month, the way the Prophet used to fast, the 13th and 14th and 15th of Nurul month. Or the best thing is to fast, which one? The fasting of Dawood alayhi salam. Right? This is the best one for the young boys, the young men. جی ثم اتم الصيام الى ليل ولا الى ليل, and then you should complete your fast till the night. And then now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a new order about this month of Ramadan. And what is this? ولا تباشروهن وانتم عاكفون في المسجد, and you should not have sex with your wives if you are doing itikaf in the masjid. Aakifuna fil masjidi. Now this itikaf, or this itikaf, what is itikaf? Can somebody tell me what is itikaf? Ji, one of the stars should tell us what itikaf is. Ji Abdullah. Itikaf generally is spending the last 10 days of Ramadan in the masjid. But this is the definition that we have in our mind. But spending any time in the masjid, any night in the masjid, or any part of the day in the masjid is also called itikaf. The Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who does itikaf for one night in the masjid, not in the month of Ramadan, any one night, whether in the month of Ramadan, outside of the month of Ramadan, the one who spends one night in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates him from the Jahannam, from the hellfire, so much that there are three haqabs between him and the hellfire. So one of the Sahabi asked, O Prophet of Allah, what is a haqab? The Prophet ﷺ said that haqab is the distance between the earth and the skies. So this is how far this man is going to be from the hellfire if he spends just one night in the masjid. So he will be three hakads away from the hellfire. So the scholars or the pious people or the people of this ummah, they have had this shock and this yearning to spend nights in the masjid. A lot of people still have a lot of love. Especially in our times, a lot of young people like to spend time in the masjid, doing itikaf in the masjid. And this is a beautiful thing. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ has said that mu'min in the masjid is like fish in the water. Right? Like the way fish feels very tranquil, at peace in water, right? And when you take the fish out, what happens? It trembles and it is all unsettled and it wants to go back in the water, right? And a few days ago, somebody showed me a picture of a young girl. And that young girl, like a 3-4 year old girl, she was carrying a fish. And she was carrying that fish and she was telling her mom, "Mom, I saved her from drowning." Right? So, but she was wrong. The fish in the water is always very happy. The fish outside of the water is not happy. So, the fish does not drown in the water. And this also leads to another question. That this is the beauty, the magnanimity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That us, we cannot swim until we are taught how to swim. And this fish, which is only, even if she's 1 day old, 1 minute old, she automatically knows how to swim in the water. So this is the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any case, the Prophet has said that mu'min in the masjid is like fish in the water. That mu'min has a deep love for the masjid. He has a natural love for the masjid. And also in another hadith, the Prophet has said that there are 7 people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give there are 7 people that on the day of judgment they will be given the shadow of the throne of Allah, and there will be no shadow. People will be very, very uncomfortable because of the heat, and there will be 7 people who will be given the shadow, and among them will be one person who, whenever he will be outside of the masjid, he would still be thinking about the masjid. So that is why this man who has a love for the masjid, who wants to go in the masjid, is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Masjid is a masjid. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped is masjid. Right? So wherever is a masjid, it is under the hukum of the masjid. And whichever sect prays there, it is different. There could be many different sects or people from many different sects of Islam praying there. But masjid is masjid. Right? And the reward for spending that night in one masjid is the same as the reward of spending night in the other masjid. It cannot be different in different masajids. But our akabir, the scholars of this ummah, have this huge love for the masjid. Shah Abdul Qadir Rahimahullah was the son of Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi Rahimahullah. And we are very late, but I want to complete this actually. Shah Abdul Qadir Rahimahullah was the son of Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dehelvi Rahimahullah. He was the first person to translate the Quran in Urdu. So when he took up this job of translating this Quran in Urdu, he said that I am doing this thing. If I make a mistake, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very upset at me. So this is something, translation of the Quran, I cannot afford to make a mistake. So he made lots of du'as, but he was still not comfortable. So he said that, okay, I am not going to, I won't do this. So he told himself that maybe I should not do this. This is not for me. I cannot take this huge responsibility. But then people told him that you're the only one who can do this. So then he thought and he connected to Allah and he made a lot of dua and he did a lot of istikhara, and this thing came in his mind that whatever translation I will do in the masjid. Because masjid is a place where Allah's mercy descends. So then what he did was he started doing the translation. He spent 40 years in the masjid. Allahu Akbar. And after 40 years he completed the itikaf. So he would spend a lot of time doing the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he would start doing the translation. And his translation, which was done about now at least 300 years ago, his translation is so light that even now all the translations of Urdu are derived from Shah Abdul Qadir Rahimahullah's translation. This is the acceptance in the eyes of Allah. So whatever Quran translation of Urdu, Urdu translated Quran that you see, will have Shah Abdul Qadir's translation. So one of the his translation, or the derivative of Shah Abdul Qadir's translation. For example, Ma'riful Quran is a translation written by Mufti Muhammad Shafi Rahimahullah. So he also writes that the translation is a derivative of Shah Abdul Qadir Rahimahullah's translation. So that means even translations written in the last 20 years are also the derivatives of Shah Abdul Qadir. So this is the acceptance of Shah Abdul Qadir Rahimahullah's translation. Why? Because it was done in the state of Aitikaf. And in the same way, there was another Shaykh by the name of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Raipuri. And he was from the city of Raipur in India. And what he used to do, he had this huge love for the masjid and itikaf. And all his students would also want to do itikaf with the Shaykh. So he would do itikaf for the whole month, in the month of Ramadan. So on the 29th of Shaban, there will be so many people in the masjid wanting to do itikaf for the whole month, that there will be not a single space left in the masjid for people to come. This is the amount of people who used to come in the masjid to do itikaf. The last thing that I would like to say here is 8 o'clock and I'm taking up all of Adnan Hussain's time. But what can you do? Kabhi kabhi baatein aisi ho jati hai na, banda rukta hi nahi hai. So the Qari, and this is the last thing that I want to say. A few years ago, I had the opportunity of going to Makkah Mukarramah. And we went to Jannatul Mu'alla. And Jannatul Mu'alla is the graveyard of Makkah Mukarramah, the Qabristan of Makkah Mukarramah. So there was a Shaykh by the name of Hazrat Maulana Khalilur Rahman. A very big Shaykh, even today. And he was there and I met with him and he said, and I have a lot of respect for him and he's very close to me. And he said, let's go to Jannatul Mu'alla, let's go to the graveyard of Makkah Mukarramah. I said, fine. Because it was a very good opportunity, because the Shaykh knew a lot about this graveyard, that who is where. So he took us there and he explained to me that this is, you know, this companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and this is one of these scholars, and this is this scholar, and this is this person. And he also took us to the grave of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anhu. And finally we came to a grave at the end, and he said, this grave is the grave of the father of this young boy that is with us. And I said, okay, let's make dua here. So we made dua. He said, you know what happens in this graveyard? What they do is, when somebody is put into the grave, after a couple of months, there's nothing left inside. So what they do is, because the space is limited, when somebody dies a year later or 2 years later, what they do is that they open up the grave and they put the new corpse, a new corpse inside the grave, the new lash is put inside. And when they open up the grave, they call the family members of the person who was in the grave. So he said, this young man, his father was buried here. And the father was a very pious man. And they also opened up his grave after 2-3 years. And they called him, that we've opened up your father's grave because we're putting a new person in it. And if you want to come, you can come. So he said that he came and I also came with him. And this man, his life was free of sins. The last 40 years of his life, he had spent in the Haram of Makkah. From the morning till the evening. Either reading the Quran or teaching the kids how to read the Quran. This was his habit for 40 years. So he said that we came, and when we came, the grave was not open, it was shut. So we asked, that did you not open the grave? And they said, we did open the grave. But even after being inside the grave for 3 years, this Shaykh is still, the body is still in its original form. It has not deformed even a little bit. So we closed it and we declared that this is a body of the friend of Allah. That is why it has not deformed in the last 3 years. So when somebody spends a lot of time in the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his body even inside the grave. So may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to spend a lot of time inside of the masjid. So Allah ta'ala says, وَلَا تُبَاشِرُهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ, that don't have sexual intimacy with them. If you are doing itikaf in the masjid, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, these are the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا, don't come close to these limits. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهِ, this is where Allah ta'ala makes clear آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ, His signs. This is how Allah Ta'ala makes clear His signs towards the people. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ, so that they may become God-fearing. So I'm going to stop here and do the translation one more time just for you, so that you can take down the translation. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, and eat and drink. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَسِ, until you can distinguish the black thread, the white thread, min al khayt al aswadi, from the black thread, min al fajr, at the time of fajr. Thumma atimmu siyama ila layl, and then you should complete your fast till the night. Wala tubashiru hunna, and don't have sex with your wives. Wa antum akifuna fil masjid, if you are doing itikaf in the masjid. Tilka hududullah, these are the limits of Allah. Fala taqrabuha, don't come close to them. Kazalika yubayyinullahu ayatihi linnas, this is how Allah Ta'ala makes clear His signs to the people. La'allahum yattaqoon, so that they may attain God-fearingness. I will end it here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal on what we learned. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.